Paul Rudnick is on with us again. I'm always glad. I love having Paul Rudnick on. Pound for pound, the funniest man in America. He's on Long Island now for some reason. Let's find out why. Hi, Paul.
Hello. How are you?
Are you visiting the folks or something? What are you doing on Long Island?
I am actually visiting myself and my partner. We now have a house here.
You have a house. You're a homeowner.
We are. We are. It's remarkably pleasant.
Is it pleasant? Is it ideal? Is it everything you ever hoped for?
It is. It is because it's, I don't know, because actually it's not a Hampton. It's just, it's a normal house. So that's been especially nice.
Will you be working your way towards the Hamptons? Would that be east from where you are?
No, that would require a driver's license, and that's never going to happen.
I know, but the movers, you can hop in with the movers, you know, they pull the whole thing over there. Well, that's very nice. Are you like, you're a homebody, basically. But are you capable of home repair, that sort of thing?
Oh, God, no. No. Although, actually, I like painting projects that revolve around areas of no larger than an inch. You know, like when there's a tiny scratch on the wall, I'm really the go-to guy.
You're all over that.
Beyond that, forget it.
You're all over that, that inch.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Because you have no skills? Does your partner have skills?
Yes, he's a doctor, so he actually could do all sorts of things.
You want a doctor working on, you know, what that's going to cost you?
That's why you marry one.
Oh.
Although, do you know when I first met John, this is like 23 years ago?
Yeah.
And I told my mom that I was going out with a doctor, and she just beamed as only a good Jewish mother can. She was so excited. And then she said, "Is he Jewish?" And I said, "No." And she took this long pause, and then she said, "Is he smart?" And I said, "No, he got his degree from the back of a matchbook cover."
Yeah.
So
those are the only two considerations. That's pretty good for you. Your mother's
exactly.
All right.
But eventually they bonded and adored each other, so yeah. It all worked out.
Oh, that's quite wonderful. By the way, I was just talking with Stephanie Lee, is our new announcer here, and she's we were talking about her generation, the millennials, so-called. You're not part. Are you what, Gen X, maybe?
Oh.
You have to choose a generation.
I'm some far previous generation, like a Roman numeral or something like that.
You're part of the lost generation, are you?
The first, let's call it the first generation.
Yeah. I think this one should be called the get lost generation. That'd be cool. No.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Oh.
I love them. I have two daughters.
They're good kids.
It's just I don't like the name millennial. Do you?
No, see, I love millennials because I think of them as like seeing eye people.
Yeah.
Whenever I need to do something, especially involving tech, I just get a young person, and they are so helpful and so kind.
But I mean the name itself. Now, I never cared for being a baby boomer because I knew it would be ironic pretty quick, you know. Yeah. Anyway, millennial is, I mean, you don't get any feel for a generation that's called the millennials.
And now, isn't it post-millennial, isn't the next generation being called Generation Z or something like that?
Oh, are they? Okay, good. It's done then.
Well, then do we start again? It seems very, it's that sort of sad. That seems like a last resort.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we should let the Weather Channel name them.
That would be so good if you could be Generation Amy. Generation Josh.
I know. But anyhow, I was talking with her, and we were talking about drinks now, because I heard that vodka is no longer in among millennials, and some other drink was. And she said that, did you have this drink?
No, I've never.
You've been around it, though. I thought of you, Paul. Skittle-infused vodka.
Flavored vodkas are the only great innovation of our time.
Yeah.
Because you know you can get cookie dough flavored vodka.
Yeah.
Oh.
But Skittle infused, I mean, you're a candy guy.
Yeah. Well, if you could eliminate the vodka part. See, I have the taste buds of a 2-year-old, so whenever people say, oh, you can't even taste the alcohol, yes, you can. It's gasoline.
Okay. Oh, so you don't drink at all?
No.
Okay.
But not through any form of moral superiority.
Through moral inferiority, or
just whatever? through sheer immaturity.
Really, you know,
but I do appreciate a good flavored vodka just as a concept, because I like to look in that part of the liquor store to see what they've come up with. Especially, they now have layer cake flavored vodka.
Ah.
And it's like sort of you're trying to gain weight in as many ways as possible. Also, it would be so embarrassing if you got a DUI for, you know, coconut cream flavored vodka.
It'll happen in Wisconsin if it happens anywhere.
The dairy flavored vodka state.
Yeah. Say, I was, you know, speaking of Wisconsin, which we happen to be in, and you, I noticed in one of your blogs you mentioned our governor in an unusual fashion. I thought.
A reference
to Scott Walker's head.
Oh, yes, it's asymmetrical.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. You can't figure out.
You think
it's a bad camera angle, but that's his head.
It's acerbic?
No, asymmetrical.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't match, which I guess you should. That's probably not his fault, but it's still odd. You just think he's a special effect.
So if you divided his head in half, the two parts wouldn't match?
Well, certainly dividing his head in half would be a good start.
You can say no wrong, really. Around here, you may have noticed that. And he's our guy.
Now, I'm originally from New Jersey, so I do not have a leg to stand on. Although, I keep thinking, no matter how much any good liberal hates Donald Trump, imagine how much Chris Christie must hate him.
Yeah.
You know, because that, the sort of straight-talking tough guy, was going to be his turf.
Yeah.
And now he can't even get on the, you know, the debate team.
Yeah. Well, nobody with Trump can say a word, and they can't get a word in edgewise with Donald Trump in the race.
I know Chris Christie probably thinking, why did I bother losing the weight?
Yeah. Why did I bother putting it back again, too? That's the other question.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he doesn't start stress eating.
I think he started. He should have if he hasn't already. I'm going to say that. I also saw this thing, the things the internet is making me worry about on your blog.
Oh, yes.
I like the morality of a Caitlyn Jenner Halloween costume.
Which is true. They are now selling them, and they refuse to take them off the market, even though there's been a good, sensible outcry. But it's based on the Vanity Fair cover, so it's kind of a white one-piece bathing suit and a bad wig. But it is interesting because you think it does seem incredibly insensitive. On the other hand, there's an argument that, oh, Caitlyn Jenner is a public figure and should be, you know, considered material for comedy, but I guess the weirdest thing is you think, who is going to dress up as Caitlyn Jenner?
Yeah.
You know, unless they
I'm not thinking of it anymore, but, you know.
Exactly. Well.
Well, you know, it's every guy's dream maybe to dress up, have a reason to dress up like a woman.
Although my favorite thing that has recently come to me through the internet, because I can't get enough Duggar information,
mm-hmm.
You know, because the Duggars just are a gift.
I know, it is a gift.
But I've just read that, did you know that all the Duggar men, including Jim Bob, the patriarch, and how could you ever take a man seriously named Jim Bob? But whenever they're walking down the street, any Duggar male, and they see a woman who is in any way provocatively dressed, mm-hmm. They are all supposed, there's a code word that the whole family uses, and all of the men and the teenage boys are supposed to lower their eyes and not look at the enticing woman because they might become aroused. And the trigger word is Nike. Isn't that odd? Maybe it was engineered by the Nike company so that people would look at their shoes.
Yeah. You found this online?
And it's also in People magazine next week, who have done two Duggar covers in a row. So think how proud that family must be.
Yeah. I suppose each cover is a little bit different, though, depending upon the story they're covering.
Yeah, well, because the earlier week they had just missed the deadline for the Ashley Madison scandal.
Yeah. Ashley Madison, there's another one.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I was amused to see how many of them came from Thunder Bay. You know, I was reading the Canadian news, you know, and so this is a Canadian thing, I guess, Ashley, I guess. I don't know anything about
Canadian,
it.
Oh, it was Canadian, that's right.
Yeah, and they had something like 40% of the people on that list were all from Thunder Bay.
And they also revealed that almost like 98% of the women on the list were fake.
Yes.
You know that it's all just nice middle-aged guys talking to each other.
Yeah. Whatever. It's kind of sweet, really, when you think about it.
It is. People should not get support group at that point for men who want to have affairs and never will.
Yeah. 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 All right. What happens at Ashley Madison? I don't know what happened with it. I don't want to hear about it.
They should call it. They should have named it Ashley Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, would have been good. I guess the CEO is leaving from Ashley Madison. Though. Go figure.
I know, in disgrace.
Yeah.
The idea of what would constitute disgrace for the man who ran Ashley Madison, it's a challenge.
It would have to be bad. Let's talk politics for a second here. Do you actually get involved in politics? Because they always want, you know, celebrities, there's a big tendency to want you to do fundraising and stuff. Do you ever do that stuff or not?
No, one of the very few things I've learned over the years is that I used to become very upset about politics, you know, when you would worry that, oh, my God, is Rick Perry going to be the president? Is Ted Cruz going to be the president? And eventually you realize, no, all of the fringe people will take care of themselves, so don't drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
And this year the Republicans are, you know, it's such a clown card that it's entertaining, but if you actually try to follow it day to day, it eliminates the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I tend to wait for the final heat rather than get too involved at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that everything that what's his name says, Donald Trump, see, it's not so big. I can't remember his name.
There you go.
Is quotable. You know, I mean, they're all pretty stupid, offensive, ridiculous thing, but they're all quotable.
Yeah, although decreasingly so. You know, I think Trump had so much more of an impact a few weeks ago, and it's kind of the Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh factor.
Yeah.
They just dilute themselves, and you wonder what was everyone so upset or so mesmerized by.
Yeah.
I get the feeling with Trump that even he's been a little bit shocked by how big he's gotten, and that you could tell he almost feels a bit trapped by it. Like, oh my God, I have to say something stupid every day.
I just have to do it once a week, really. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
The beauty of radio. This brings us to your New Yorker piece, the one on happiness.
Yes.
There was a study on happiness between Democrats and Republicans. Is that what we're talking about here?
No, conservatives versus liberals.
Conservatives, liberals, of course.
Yep.
And would you care to share that with us?
I certainly will.
Yes.
I can read it to you now. The piece is called Who's Happy Now? And it opens with actually a paragraph from the New York Times that says, conservatives are happier than liberals, or so decades of surveys that ask about life satisfaction would suggest. But a new series of studies questions the gap itself, raising the possibility that although conservatives may report greater happiness than liberals, they are no more likely to act in ways that indicate that they really are happier. Further research has been done in this intriguing area, and the results are in. Ways in which conservatives express extreme happiness. They waggle their jowls. They kiss their spouses passionately on the forehead or the cheek. A male conservative will snap his suspenders and shout, yowza. A female conservative will offer a tight, chilly smile and almost touch her hair. Ways in which liberals express extreme happiness. They make independent films about how happiness is expressed through batik fabrics in third world countries, despite fracking. They dance wildly in public, which causes their children to use heroin. The men bake something, and then the women write a personal essay about how a man baking isn't enough, and how, in fact, it's condescending and offensive. Causes of clinical depression in conservatives. The thought of two people of the same gender getting married and wearing, what the hell do those people wear anyway? Matching scarves and rainbow jumpsuits? The thought of an illegal immigrant receiving a free measles vaccine and then taking Sunday off. The thought of a teenage girl aborting a child who might have grown up to buff a conservative's Mercedes with a chamois. Items of clothing that make liberals burst with pleasure. A Portuguese hemp poncho bought at a street fair and worn to a wedding. A rawhide bracelet knotted with an amber bead bought at Burning Man, where 50% of the purchase price goes to fight the use of drones and preservatives. A T-shirt with a silk-screened Warhol-style picture of Edward Snowden worn on the elliptical machine. things that cause conservatives to laugh uproariously. Any comic who talks about the differences between men and women, because it's all just so damn true. When an evangelical pastor makes a pun. When a conservative candidate deliberately mispronounces Hillary, calling her Shillery or Pillory. Ah. Things that cause liberals to weep bitter tears. Any photograph of Sarah Palin without a sarcastic caption. Any sitcom that features only a single minority character and a thin blonde female lead. In 2015, really, people? The use of gender-specific pronouns and the failure to acknowledge that a newborn baby might be transgender. Young conservatives are made especially happy by just knowing that on a conservative scale, 46 is still considered young. Turning down offers of marijuana, a free weekend of Showtime, and a trip to New York City, because a young conservative would rather play golf with his dad and maybe learn something. Rocking out to Katy Perry while studying for the LSATs, watching Fox News on an iPad, and trying to decide which of these activities is the most fun. Young liberals are made especially happy by all liberals are young, just ask one. Things that would make a conservative and a liberal equally happy. If all of their children got into their first choice school but didn't have to room together. If no one ever challenged them to find Syria on a map. And finally, the trailer for the new Star Wars movie. It's a universal language. And that's it.
Who's happy now? Oh, those are great.
Oh, thanks so much.
But here's one for you. Can you give an example of an evangelical pastor's pun?
Oh, my Lord.
Is that one right there? That was...
Exactly. I think they're probably not quite clear on what a pun is.
Yeah.
Or something involving the word gosh.
Gosh. Okay. Well, that's a good one. Well, that was hilarious. I'm crying. I'll stop crying for a minute. I'll talk to you for a minute. Now, you got a, there's a TV, iShutter is coming out.
iShutter is we're going to be shooting a TV pilot for the network TV Land in October.
Is that okay
and
to talk about this?
We've got to put together a wonderful cast. So I'm very, very thrilled by that.
Okay, we can talk about it and doesn't scotch the deal, right?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll find out.
TV Land, cool. That's cool. And who's in that? Hamish Linklater? And
Hamish Linklater, people may remember from The New Adventures of Old Christine and from the Crazy Ones, the Robin Williams series. Wonderful actress Megan Hilty, who was so good on Smash. A lot of other terrific New York stage actors. Wonderful actress named Geneva Carr, who's in a play called Hand to God, which if anyone comes to New York, they should not miss. We also have an adorable 10-year-old girl named Brooklyn Shook, who is just Brooklyn Shook, who is just completely irresistible.
Yeah.
So we're getting a great group together beyond that. So I am delighted.
And these are based on the.
These are based on there was in iShutter, which was a collection I published a few years back,
right.
And it had some autobiographical pieces and then fictional pieces about a character named Elliot Vianney, who is a very well-meaning, compassionate man who lives in his studio apartment in New York and who keeps trying to reach out and help people, and the people sometimes keep dying. So it's pretty much everyone's fantasy. It's about a man who has perfect taste and isn't afraid to use it.
Yes. What with unintended consequences in terms
of
helping mankind. But that's the perfect studio apartment, which almost overlooks Gramercy Park, right?
Indeed.
That's the one. Oh, that sounds great. I can't wait for that. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. No, I am just very delighted by it, and I can't wait. And it also will be so much fun to shoot in New York City, which a lot of places, a lot of shows don't get to do because usually they'll sort of use Vancouver or Los Angeles and just fake it with putting a couple of extra garbage cans out on the street.
Yeah.
But we got the real thing.
Paul, did you get the watch, by the way?
Not yet. But
I sent it to your
so
apartment,
excited.
And you're living on Long Island now. I sent that. We did
well,
a show.
No, I still have the apartment in New York is still valid as well. So no, and yeah. I understand it's from a store in Sheboygan.
I was going to tell you, you know, among other things about marriage, keep the apartment.
Oh. You know. You don't have to tell me.
Okay, good. I feel I am older than you, and I can say something like that to you.
Exactly.
So I did. Well, anyhow, we did a show in Sheboygan some years ago, and we had a guy on there from Rudnick Jewelers, because the Rudnicks had been there since 1911, and he gave me a Rudnick 1911 replica Rudnick watch.
Oh, my Lord. Finally, yeah. Something for the family to be proud of.
I don't know if they're related to your Rudnicks or not. Did yours do anything beyond, New York?
That I know of, although there used to be a clothing store in Beverly Hills called Rudnick Men and Boys, and I have certainly continued that tradition. Well, not the boys part.
Anyway, Paul, I hope you enjoy the watch. And I kept it so long in my drawer that it needs a battery. I would have got it.
And listen, that's true of all the people in the Rudnick family.
Whatever that means to Paul, thank you so much. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My best to you. Paul Rudnick.
Thanks.
From Long Island, homeowner.